If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hey guys, and welcome to Personality Bingo with me, your host, Tom Moran. So this week on the podcast, we have the brilliant Amelia Stewart. Amelia is a Dublin-based actor who can currently be seen in The Snapper by Roddy Doyle at the Gate Theatre. It had a massive run. It's been an absolutely rip-roaring success for the summer. It's unreal to see it doing so well. And she's absolutely doing brilliant work in that, which is always great to see. Amelia is also a director, having directed loads of stuff at the Theatre Upstairs, stuff that's toured nationally. I've been lucky enough to see her on stage in other productions like Murder of Crows by Lee, Coffee from All Sides Now at the Fringe. But as well as that, she is on Fair City. She is Katie O'Brien in Fair City and was part of one of the most record-breaking storylines in Irish television history when she was locked away by the brilliant Johnny Ward. So that was, just such a sensation. There were petitions to get Katie released, all this mad sort of stuff. So, she was in the centre of that storm in a teacup, so to speak. So I'm sure we'll get into all of that on the episode. In other news, I've just finished up our run of Copperface Jackson musical. It's such a bittersweet feeling finishing the show because we were all so proud of what we did, and it was such a successful run. Just in terms of box office and audience reaction, which is always so lovely, but even from a personal perspective, to get to work with people like Paul Howard and Carl Harper and Cathal Sinnott, and then just the incredible cast. And I really mean that, the energy that was kind of generated in that stage each night was really special, and we just had the best summer doing it, and hopefully it won't be the last of Copperface Jacks, the musical. I'm off on a little holiday for the first time probably since I've started doing this podcast, and going interrailing, doing a little solo trip. A little bit nervous about it, starting in Amsterdam tomorrow. I literally booked it on a Tuesday, booked the interrail ticket on a Wednesday, and then I'm flying out on the Thursday, so a little bit nervous, but in the good way. I think it's going to be a great challenge. And so if you have any interrailing tips, send them my way. Personality Bingo has now become a travel podcast. So, guys, enough of my nonsense. Please enjoy the brilliant Amelia Stewart playing Personality Bingo with Tom Moran.
Tom Moran's Personality Bingo. Tom Moran's Personality Bingo.
Amelia Stewart, ready to play Personality Bingo?
I am.
All right, sweet, let's do it. So a quick explanation of how it all works. I have 60 minutes on the clock. I've got 60 questions here, and I've got 60 balls that link up with the questions. I've also given you 5 numbers on that sheet of paper. Would you do me a favour and read out the 5?
33, yeah. 8, yes. 34, okay. 14, yeah. And 60.
Nice one. Do me another favour. Pick a 6 number, something between 1 and 60 that's not already there.
5.
Very decisive. Any reason?
My favourite number.
Nice one. Why? just how he has been.
I don't know. I just like it.
Yeah. 5 times tables.
Were they
good?
Yeah.
I love the 8 times tables. I love them.
No.
I don't know why. Did you learn tables up until, did you go, say, 5 until 10, or did you go 5 until 12? Because we never went past 10.
But we never went past 10 either.
I think some schools did. They went 11 and 12.
Really?
Yeah. They got a big advantage on us in life.
Oh my God, I'd still panic if someone asked me. 12, yeah. 11, you could kind of maybe, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, just
but
stick
12,
it.
12, I'd have a panic attack.
Yeah, I would too. maybe we would have been accountants and very wealthy if we'd done that instead.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Instead of this.
Nice and secure.
Yeah, exactly. And I should say, right, that if all 6-year numbers do come out, that means the tables are turned and you can ask me any question in the whole wide world.
Right.
And I'll tell you the truth. Right, will we give it a spin?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First one out the gate, we have number 50. Do you have it?
I don't.
No worries, number 50. The question is, when was the last time you wrote a letter?
I actually started writing letters about 2 months ago again.
Really?
Yeah. My boyfriend was away and we decided to do that. So I was writing a letter a day.
Really?
Yeah, and I wasn't actually even sending it to him. I was keeping it. And then I gave them to him when I saw him. It was really nice and romantic. And it's, I was really getting romantic. Them as well. So, yeah, it was really, I felt like I was in Pride and Prejudice or something.
Gas.
I know.
But they're so, fair play to you, because I always say this when that question comes up. I always, whenever I get a letter, I'm always like, this is deadly. This is so much better than an email or a text or whatever.
Text, because they're so short. But it's you really go into detail, and I think it's really sweet. But I find myself now sometimes, instead of sending text messages, writing notes in my phone of text messages I would send. And then I'll be like, these are all the texts I would have sent you today because I'm trying not to use my phone as much.
Really? That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Very fresh.
What was there like anything that sparked that like change of mind, I suppose?
I think, yeah, I was on my phone all the time. And I was, like, even walking around town, like, if my phone was dead, I'd be panicking. I wouldn't be able to listen to music. I couldn't call someone to walk. I was like, why do I do that? So I just thought, I'm going to have to really do it and cut off, like, delete apps and stuff on my phone. So I started deleting all the apps, except Instagram, because I do love that. But Twitter, I deleted the Twitter app and I deleted the Facebook and Messenger app. So you'd have to, like, go to the trouble of signing in. So I was like, well, if I don't have that, then what do I do? And then I'd usually listen to like a podcast or listen to music. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll cut back and I'll only listen to a podcast. And then I cut the podcast out and I was like, okay, if I'm walking from A to B, I'm walking with just my thoughts. So yeah, it feels really good. It was so difficult to do, but I feel much better.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so true because I was just saying to you off mic about going away, you know, and doing the solo travel. And like,
that's why I'm encouraging it.
Yeah, I know, no, it's good. But I mean, like, by the same token, I made the joke with you. I was like, it'll either go one or two ways. I'll meet loads of, you know, incredible like people and like have these amazing relationships and friendships with people from all around the world. Or I'll be in my head and I'll just be listening to like podcasts and they'll be my friends. You know
what
I mean?
You won't because you won't have a chance to do that.
Yeah. I know, I think you're right. But that's great. And so with the letters, right? Mm. So you were saying that your boyfriend was away and you were saying, but you weren't sending them.
No, it wasn't. We weren't sending them. We were keeping them. I'm like.
So you're nearly just diarying your feelings about each other.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
Because it was really nice then to be like, these are all the letters I wrote, you know, and you just sit down and read them. And I think you really find something in that.
Totally. Because
I don't think you can. I think in texts, things don't come across very well because they're so short and to the point. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a letter, reading it, You divulge so much more of yourself into a letter because you're handwriting it and you really think about what's going in instead of just something really quick and really smart.
So what's interesting about that as well is that, like, you know the way with letters and text, like, it's not quite... It's a conversation in the sense of you're picking up the tone of someone else's text and you're replying in that tone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For example, like, you know the way sometimes someone will send you a text with emojis, so you'll send emojis back. And if they don't use emojis, if they send you an X, you'll send an X back. If they don't, you kind of thing. You can pick up a tone. Whereas with this, you were kind of like in your own heads.
Yeah.
Like, was the tone of each other's letters, did they match? Or like, were you very different to his, or one was way longer, one was way shorter?
They did kind of match. Yeah. It depends on the day, really.
Sure.
You know, because I was in work, so there'd be some days that, like, I was so wrecked from rehearsals that it'd be so short. It would only be, like, half a page. Mm. And then there's other days that it'd be, like, 8 pages long.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, that, I think it is, your train of thought is so much purer in a letter because there's no interaction. So, yeah.
It's great.
I know. I'd really, like, letters are the way forward.
Love
it. But it's really good to get your feelings out on a page as well.
No, I totally, you know? I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe I'll write you a letter from fucking Bucharest or something.
You better now.
All right, here we go. Number 25. Do you have it?
No.
Oh, well, do you know what's interesting? It's been 5, your number, multiplied by 5, 25, 5, multiplied by 10, 50. Just saying.
It is my lucky number.
number 25. Tell us something about yourself that when people hear it, they're generally surprised.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Any weird little facts about Amelia there?
Any weird facts about me?
Well,
sure,
like, I mean,
there is.
I was surprised that you were writing letters in a really nice way. I think that's great.
I'm a really good cook.
Are you?
Yeah, I really enjoy cooking.
What's your, do you have like a go-to?
Yeah, recently, I like really spicy food. So I'm kind of doing a lot of barbecue stuff now, like Texas baked beans and like chicken wings, and like every time I go back to it, I'm trying something different. Mm. Like, yeah, I love cooking. I think it's really therapeutic.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you ever have like dinner parties, or like, do you like cooking for a big group or like for mates or whatever?
Yeah, I do. But like, we used to live in a really small little apartment, and there was no table or anything. But with two of my friends, that is my secret thing actually, because me and my two friends and we used to live next door to them, and they'd have dinner parties all the time.
Yeah.
And they just cook for me. But before we moved out, we had a dinner party together, and I brought chicken wings, Texas baked beans, and something else. I think it was like chicken thighs But I'd like marinated them, and like I spent an awful lot of time on this meal.
Okay.
And my friend Laura was like, now we find out you can cook, you're leaving, and now you bring this to the table.
The last day.
But, yeah, and I was like, I actually haven't really cooked for anyone, have I? You know?
It's scary, so, like, as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of a vulnerable thing to do.
It's laziness.
Okay,
on
sure.
On the Deliveroo. That's, I forgot how much I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I know. Do you know, like, Deliveroo is so weird because I don't really not remember exactly when it became a thing, but like,
oh, it's a thing. Yeah,
like, they're
it?
As common as Dublin buses.
Yeah.
Maybe more so.
Yeah.
Like, it's unreal. I don't think I've ever had anything delivered by Deliveroo either.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, God. I've probably had as many things delivered by them as many delivery people I've nearly run over. It's
just
like,
playing like bumper cars with them.
It's crazy. They're everywhere. Like,
yeah.
Fair play to them. I couldn't.
I know. I think, and it's, I think like it's kind of, like, yeah, do they have to do proper training for it and all?
They do. I applied for it like a couple of years ago. I was like, I'm going to do that now. I'd jump on my bike, and deliver some food, but absolutely like couldn't. First of all, they were like, we've too many drivers at the minute, which is apparent, but I'm glad now that there wasn't. Imagine me driving around my little bike.
I know. Well, I think everyone has that fantasy of being like, well, it'd be great because I'll, you know, I'll earn my few bob and then I'll be like getting
my
fit.
Own time as well.
And like, I'll get to know all the little nooks and crannies of the city.
That's exactly everything that went through my head.
Yeah, 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 totally. No, it all makes total sense. Like, I totally get it. But then, yeah, I'd say it's a bit of a nightmare job as well.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah. Right. Will you give it a spin?
Right.
Okay, here we go. Number 59. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
My appendix burst.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was up in Belfast on a girls' holiday with a couple of friends of mine. And on the first night, I felt really sick. And I like didn't say anything. I was drinking Blue Wicked. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I was puking green. And I just thought, geez, I better stop drinking that Wicked. It's obviously like too acidic. It's not green with me. And then the next day, we went for food. And I was still sick. I remember one of the girls was just like, oh, like, you know, cop on. Like, if you're that sick, maybe, like, we'll bring you to the hospital. And I was like, no, because I am a bit of a drama queen, to be fair. Yeah. And then we went to another nightclub the next night, and I was still getting sick. And I said, I actually think I might need to go to the hospital. And I remember in the car, like, one of the girls was like, you better be sick. And when we got there, they were like, we've actually no surgeons on, but like, your appendix has burst, so we need to get you back to Dublin. So I was like, oh, my God. So I got back to Dublin, literally got into James's hospital. I was sitting there and like 5 seconds later, they were putting these weird socks on me and just wheeling me down to the theatre. And I remember thinking in my head, like, I've heard about people like dying from this.
Yeah.
And I did think, I was just like, I wonder if I'm going to live. And then I woke up the like after the surgery. But yeah, it was really scary.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 20, 21.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus. And did the girls drive you back or did they put you
the
in
the girls drive me back because they were like, I think an ambulance, like even getting an ambulance, it'd be the same kind of time anyway because it was all motorway.
Yeah.
But Jesus, like, it would have been a fortune.
And was it like, was it when you woke up the next day, were you in bits? Was it really painful?
When I woke up the next day, I was in my element because it's all the morphine. But I remember trying to stand up and being like, oh, because it happened the way it happened. They had to make 3 incisions. And they ruined my poor little belly button. And they had to get out all the whatever bursts. It was horrible. Yeah. I remember thinking now, that's it now. That's ruined my life. Well, obviously, like, it was grand. It all healed.
Do you have, like, is there visible scarring on your tummy?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, because I got my appendix out as well.
Yeah.
It didn't burst. But I think, like, I'm sure everyone thinks, oh, it nearly burst. Could have burst.
No,
like,
mine actually burst.
Yeah, yours actually burst, yeah.
I left it so long.
Mm.
Like, it was so scary.
I know, but I think especially, like, when you've been drinking, then you kind of, and you're sick, then you kind of, you might have that thing going on where you're like, oh, I deserve this, like, self-inflicted,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, how am I so sick?
Yeah, especially after Blue Wicked, you know, it's not exactly.
I know what I mean. I was taking, what are those things called for your stomach? Motilliums.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I remember even before I went up to the square and got like a box of Motilium for the road because like, oh, my stomach's not feeling too well. So it was like coming on for a while.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's fine, it's fine. No, it burst.
Well, you survived to tell the tale. I think that's the first time that question's ever come up because I was a bit like, I think that's a really interesting question to ask someone. But it's also like, you wouldn't want to like, you know, overstep or anything. But
yeah, it could be a dangerous question to ask.
It could, like if someone like, I don't know, had just lost someone or if someone had.
Yeah.
But fuck it.
Well, it came out now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like your appendix. All right. Here you go, number 23. Do you have it?
No.
When was the last time you said a prayer?
I can't actually remember. Probably at my grandmother's funeral, I'd say. Mm.
And when did she pass away?
3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, on my birthday.
Ah.
I know.
Really?
So weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Weird. And were you close?
Very close. We lived together, so.
Ah, wow.
Yeah.
And are you an atheist or agnostic, or do you believe in God? Or
I don't know what I believe in. I think I was an atheist for a very long time, but I think now, like, I'm trying to find some kind of spirituality.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Because I really want something to kind of believe. I think as well, like, I kind of learned recently, like, saying God instead of, like, God, like a big man in the sky, it's good, orderly direction. So I think that direction comes from somewhere.
Sure.
If you open yourself up to it. So that's kind of where I'm at now, religion-wise. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be one for praying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Do you ever, like, do you talk to this guy? Do you know that way? Like, do you...
I kind of talk to myself a lot. Does that count?
Yeah. No, it does, I think. Yeah. I think that's probably what praying was for a lot of people. Do you know what I mean?
It's just as... I think praying is a really good way to, like, talk to yourself in your head and not feel insane.
Yeah. Like, you know all that stuff you hear about, like, now the way everyone, like, you know, people are shifting more and more towards, like, mindfulness and positivity and gratitude and all this. Like, I wonder to what extent that's just, like, what the origin of prayer was, in the sense of, like, putting stuff out in,
into the universe. And waiting for, like, it to, like, catch on to something and come back to you.
Yeah, and obviously it's you know, I don't think it's probably, I'm sure we all have an appreciation of it, it's not that simple, but, like, there does seem to be something to the fact of, I mean, you know the way you hear all the stories of, like, I don't know, like, you know, Jim Carrey writing his check for $10 million and I'm going to cash that.
Yeah, I think there's something in that, though. I think as well, like, if you start kind of living a more positive life, more positive things do kind of start happening.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of got to a point last year where I was just like, I'm not happy. And then, like, start making, like, little decisions. And I never thought this time last year I'd be as happy as I am now.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the more positive you put out there, the more it comes back to you.
And so what were those little decisions? Like, what do they look like?
I was like, okay, I'm going to maybe not drink as much.
Sure.
Because that just put me in a really, like, bad place. Mm. You know, maybe I'm going to contact that person that I wasn't really talking to for a while for absolutely no reason. You know? And then, like, finding a friendship or friendships there again that you're like, oh God, I really missed that in my life. That really gave me something.
Yeah.
Even spending more time with family. Like, I was terrible for being like, oh, I'm busy. Busy doing what? You're not that busy. You know, a call, a text, a visit. There's always time to put aside. And when I started actually making the time to put aside to see more family and friends, I felt so much more positive because they're your friends for a reason, you know. Your family really do give you something. They do feed your soul in a way, you know. So that really helped. Kind of going back to yoga, going back to dancing, things that I loved growing up that I completely just cut off, you know, doing them again. I was just like, God, I know why I've done this for so long.
And what were the things that, can you pinpoint a time or reasons why you stopped doing those things that fundamentally did make you happy at one point?
Time, I think. Yeah. Honestly, laziness. Laziness and complacency. I just was like, it's an effort to do that.
Sure. But you don't strike me as a lazy or complacent person either. So was it like...
I was for a while.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, I got into a slump for a couple of years there and I was just like, oh. But then just stop sighing, you know, and do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got so lazy.
And and then, sorry, I did this backwards, but going back then to, like, when you were saying, like, a year, this time last year, you said you weren't very happy.
No.
Like, was it that laziness that was actually making you unhappiness, do you think?
I think so, no. I think it's the laziness first. Not finding the time for the things I actually enjoyed, fall into a hole, and then keeping myself in that hole with bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it was just like, it was a merry-go-round I just couldn't get off.
Sure.
You know?
And then in the sense of that, like, you're very busy, you're very successful in the sense of between... I suppose I'm talking about work now in the sense of, like, between Fair City and the Snapper and then you've a directing on the side and whatever other bits and bobs you're doing. How do you, amongst all that, Like, do you have a tactic or a system or a rule for yourself now to like carve out that time and, yeah. and make a point of it?
Absolutely. Like, as simple as, like, I used to be terrible for sleeping on, right. like till about like 11 or 12. And now I'm up in the morning. And if I don't, I'm actually hard on myself because, like, if I get up and I do my, like, if I do yoga or if I just do my own warm up, even if it's just going for a run, the rest of the day, then everything just kind of slots in. But if I miss something, mm. I'm such a creature of routine. If I miss something, the whole day is right off.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would be really hard on myself with that. That's a serious downfall.
Yeah.
If I miss something, I'm like, oh, well, like, that's everything fucked up. Like, am I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, fucking okay, Jesus.
Okay. I was like, oh, no, it's more.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
It's just, what's really cool is now you get to put the little explicit sign beside your, so you feel like Eminem or fucking, like, do you remember when you, like you get a Green Day album and you'd be like, oh, Jesus, like, they,
I know.
Like, American Idiot or whatever it might be, like.
It's an excuse now, it's in the song, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, sweet, let's give it another spin. Here we go, number 42, do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 42. If there was one thing you could change about Ireland, what would it be?
I don't think there's an awful lot of help for people that need it in Ireland, in a mental health capacity.
Sure.
I really don't. Mm. Yeah, I know, like, for a fact, because when I was going through a really hard time, it took me so long to find somewhere affordable to even, like, just talk out how I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With somebody.
In terms of, do you go down to counselling or therapy or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, sure. It's really hard. And to find the right one. So, like, it's, I think it's like 95 quid a pop to go and talk to somebody. Like, for just a kind of, I want to make an appointment, come in, here you go. And then if that's not the right person, then you have to find somebody else. And, like, I think it's really, really difficult to be able to do that in this country, I found personally.
Mm.
And I think we are really good now at saying, if you need to talk to someone, there's this and this and this, but it's calling on the phone and the helplines isn't enough for a lot of people. There's something very comforting about actually talking to a person and seeing that person, because on the phone I think it can be still like a really cold kind of experience.
Totally. And I mean this completely respectfully, because anyone who works in any capacity to help anyone is doing such an honourable thing, but I feel like a lot of the people on the phones are possibly volunteers and stuff, you know yeah. what I mean? Whereas if you go to like a cognitive behavioural therapist or whatever your
yes,
choice is, or a
yeah.
counsellor, I mean, like, they're just like, they do that for a living, like, they, yeah. they should be. I mean, I think it's actually the biggest tragedy when I hear like friends of mine, because I therapy is something that like I will actively check in with, like, every
yeah.
sometimes I'll go every week
yeah.
you know, I haven't done that in years, but like, you know, I'll probably talk to my therapist like 6 times a year, maybe, like
yeah.
once every 2 months, just lovely little check-in. And it makes me so sad when someone had a bad experience and just didn't, and it knocked them to the point where they're like, I'm not trying that again.
Yeah,
and,
it is,
and I
horrible.
Understand that, but it's
yeah.
it's sad, because I think, as you said, if you find the right person, it can really be amazing.
It can really change it, and especially CBT, I think that it's absolutely like amazing to do, especially like as an actor, because we're so used to taking like rejection, like for every like part you get, there's like 50 you don't get.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're on a streak and you're like, oh, I'm after getting this part and that part and that part, and then they're like, realistically, you're not going to work again unless something else from that comes of it.
Sure.
And there's so many people that, like, it's Dublin is such a small pool. You know, it's so hard to be like, go from that high to no one ringing looking for you anymore. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
It's hard not to take it personally. So CBT for me, I think, is great to get back to how do you actually feel, instead of like rejection wise, instead of like, oh God, well, I'm not really upset and I didn't really like that part, to be like, no, I am upset I didn't get that, and that's the truth, and that's from my gut, and I have to admit that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's better than like it's really toxic if you're like, oh, I didn't want that anyway, and like, oh, I didn't even care about that, because that's lies, you know, like, it's not the truth.
Yeah, it's just not honest.
Just,
yeah, exactly.
If you're like, if you just like talk from your gut and you are honest, I think it just makes life easier for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, I think to have someone like that who is literally, you know, if you have a therapist who's really good and you really like, and
yeah.
you know, like them as a friend, I would go as far as say, like, I love my therapist. Like,
yeah,
I love
mine as well.
They're amazing.
Changed my life.
And like, you can speak without, like, as a person, I'd be aware of, you know, I don't speak in complete sentences because I'm always thinking about how are my words going to affect Amelia now? Do you know what I mean? And I have to be constantly, does this make me sound like I'm being arrogant? Or
because we're always on the defensive. Humans are always on the defensive.
Yeah, because we have to protect ourselves. That's why we're still here.
By the time, when I was saying this to my friend yesterday, I was like, when you get told something from your, like the time it hits your gut, that gut feeling that you have, by the time it gets to your mouth, after being processed, you're already on the defensive.
Yeah.
And that, like, I was always on the defensive.
Yeah. But what's lovely with a therapist is, like, they're literally being paid to be there, right? So they don't really care in the sense of, like, you can say what you want.
Yeah.
Like I remember saying to my therapist once, I was like, I don't think you're doing a very good job here. Like, and you know, that's okay. Like, that's all part of it. You know what I mean? It's like, I think you're being a bit easy on me or something like that.
Yeah.
And and that's totally fine. That's all part of it. You know,
there's
something really freeing about not having what's the word? Like, censor yourself or filter yourself.
Yeah, because there's no judgment there because they don't, apart from being in that room, they don't know you.
Yeah.
They don't care what you do outside.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. No, it's amazing. Like, it is that thing of like, if you could encourage someone who had had that bad experience to just like, I guess it's like it's in weirdly like having a bad relationship and then being like, do you know what? I can't open myself up in that way again.
Yeah,
because it's so vulnerable to sit down with a stranger and then they say, so what brought you here today? How the fuck do you answer that question? like 25 years brought
me
here.
Give me an easy one, please.
Yeah. But all right, sweet. Will we give another spin?
Yeah.
This is fun.
I know.
This is great. Okay, here we go. Number 19. Do you have it?
No, I don't have it. I don't have any of the numbers.
And you're not happy about it. Number 19. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Have you ever or do you ever consider emigrating?
I have considered emigrating in the past. When I finished the Gaiety, I wanted to move to Canada.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, like, we were talking about going to Canada, and I was really, like, even in the Gaiety, I was like, we're going to Canada, I'm going to Canada, I'm not going to be here, I don't care about Dublin, I'm going to Canada. And then I got working, and it just kind of melted away. Then I realised most of the theatre that I wanted to produce and be in was Dublin-based. Can't do that in Canada. Not really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that kind of melted away, but I do regularly, I'd say once or twice a week, be like, God, I'd like to be working on a beach in Australia for a while. But it's just not in my plan. I'm saving for a mortgage. I can't be disappearing to Australia for a year, you know, but it is the dream. I consider it, but I'd never follow through, you know.
Do you think you'll regret that in years to come?
I think I will. I think I should have gone... I should have gone before college or something,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Because now I can't go away. Because if I'm all or nothing, I'm an extremist. If I'm going for a year, I'm not just going traveling because I won't come back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Different, like I wanted to see Thailand and stuff like that, but I know I'll come back. Whereas if I went to Oz, because I have so much like family over there and a lot of my friends moved over there, I might not come back.
And whenever they do come back on those rare occasions and you talk to them, like, do you get it? Is there a part of you that's a little bit jealous of, like, when they're describing that beach life or the sun or whatever it is?
Yeah, I have in my head, I'd love to be over one Christmas. I'd love to do one Christmas on the beach in Australia.
Well, that sounds realistic.
I know, but it's just, you can never plan anything. We were just talking about this, you can never plan anything around work, because every time I book something, something comes up. I'd almost go and book flights just so I know I'll get offered something and just deal with the money being gone. Because every time I go on that website to book a flight somewhere,
it's unreal. And even like with this trip, because I said I did it really last minute, so I literally booked the thing before I came into you today at 9:30 this morning, right? So I literally haven't even told my agent about it, so I'm gonna give them a ring now after this. But like the temptation to say like. In fact, I know I will say it. I'll definitely say it. I'll be like, but look, if something comes up, will you just let me know? Will you just treat it like I'm not away?
Yeah.
And then I can make the call.
Doing a tape on a train.
Yeah.
Traveling through Europe.
Do you know what I mean?
Like. Oh, yeah. We've done that.
Yeah. So it's so hard. But I wonder, like, at what point do you have to just say, cause, and I'm talking to myself here because I'm shit at it. Like, but at what point do you have to just say, yeah, but like.
I need a holiday. I need a holiday.
Well, I was thinking, you know, the phrase I was thinking about today was, you know, the way people say, and it's funny because I don't know what the answer to this for me is, but they say you should work to live, not live to work.
I totally agree. But as well, you have to be like,
But what we do is so all-encompassing.
I know, but you do have to find separation, and I think that's something I'm still trying to learn how to do.
Me too.
Like, I'm an actor, but I'm not just an actor. You know, like, I'm a daughter, I'm a girlfriend, I'm a friend, I'm godmother, sister. Like, you have to really separate and just be like, I have to have my life. And as much as it's not, like, 9 to 5, it is just a job, mm-hmm. you know?
And do you, like... Something I get a real buzz out of, like, I was saying that we were both coming in looking, like, you know, in our messy
Junior,
clothes.
Yeah.
You were coming from yoga and I'm going to play football. But, like, I wonder, do you get that? I love playing, because the bunch of lads I play football with now are, like, they all work in the civil service. They all work in, like, the Department of Health or whatever it might be. And they don't really know what I do.
So I
love that.
Like, it's nice, isn't it?
I love that.
It's nice because
I lie if they ask me what I do. I don't tell them I'm an actor. I just don't want to. I don't want to have that conversation. Do you know what I mean?
I love going up to by my cousin Sharissa. I call her my sister. We're ridiculously close. We were brought up together. I love going up to her because she's always just like, "You still doing the acting?" And she's like, "When are you gonna, like, you know, like, have a baby, and when are you going to do this, and when are you going to settle down?" And I really like, it used to really be like, oh, for fuck's sake, but now I really like those conversations because it's just, she doesn't take it too seriously. And I like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, muggles, I love being around the muggles.
Yeah. No, there's something, I think that's a nice thing. That's kind of another thing I'm looking forward to going away. Even sometimes if I just cycle by a bunch of people I don't know, I get a little bit excited because sometimes Dublin feels so small.
It's so small.
And especially like the circle that we might exist in is very small.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something really, like, I guess one of the first times, I probably always toyed with the idea of moving to London. I don't think Canada doesn't jump out.
Is London emigrating?
Well, there you go.
It's,
I mean,
it kind of just feels like a bigger Dublin, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you're, yeah, I, because of course that is something I really am interested in. But it doesn't feel like emigrating if it's London.
Yeah, I know. And I, well, like, especially because, I mean, there's just so many Irish there as well.
Yeah, and it's like, I'd get from here to Tallinn the same time as it'd take to fly to London.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
And then, so in terms of, so you're saving for a mortgage.
I'm saving for a mortgage.
How is that, like, as in, because that's not something that I've properly, it's kind of the thing, it's that funny thing of, like, you know, my dad might broach the subject with me every now and again, or sometimes my dad's friends, actually, funny enough, they're always like, "And how do you do that?" And I'm like, well, it's really difficult as an actor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now obviously, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know, but I mean, obviously, being on a soap and kind of still being around that, does that make it a lot easier? Because you can say, I mean, the money is reasonable and whatever, and you can say it can be consistent if I need it to be.
It can be consistent. Yeah, if you're smart with money as well, it's more, the money I'd put away is usually in bulk.
Sure.
You know, because you have to, I was paying rent as well for a while. It is all bulk kind of savings, which does make it hard to get a mortgage, you know, still. And as soon as, like, I think working in the gate now was like 18 straight weeks. Well, it will be 18 straight weeks where I have something coming in every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that's happened in 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. You know, like, it's always been like week on, week off, week on, week off, 2 weeks on, 6 months off. It's really unregular. And that was one of the things that kind of scared me when I finished up in RTE.
Mm.
I was like, Them big bulk payments are gone now. Like, I'm going to have to work, like, get hard or make work quickly.
So in order to year, they pay you, like, on a monthly basis?
Every 2 weeks you get paid.
Every 2 weeks,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
it's
scary. That is the nice thing about theatre. But then, like, there has to be then that thing when you go back to, like, theatre money versus TV money where you're like, this, I, like...
Oh, it doesn't...
You know, you're near, like, a day equals a week. Not I'm exaggerating a little bit, maybe. Do you know what I mean? Not by much.
Yeah.
Like, so it's so, especially if you work in theatre, like, to get a mortgage is just so,
it
feels, you know, really tough.
I know. And you're always like, if you just land one big film gig,
yeah,
you could just buy an apartment.
Especially,
you know,
if you're not if your partner, you know, is a creative as well. If they're not, like, if they're not in a accountant or even a nurse or a teacher, whatever it might be, do you know?
Yeah, you don't have any stability.
Yeah.
It's
hard. So how do you make your case when you go into, like, have you gone into banks and had conversations?
I have. I went in a couple of months ago and they were kind of like, okay, well, if you go on this payment scheme in 6 years, you can have a mortgage. you know.
So you have to prove that you hit all them payments, is it?
Yeah. Right. Because my credit's still good. Still good. But it's not a 9-to-5 constant job, so it's not great.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely will be able to plead my case.
Yeah.
And I'm still hoping to get one big payment.
Totally.
And can just skip all that and just buy something.
I know.
You live in hope, Tom.
Yeah. No, I know. And but that is the tricky thing then. And then, like, if you have a mortgage, right, then how does that change what, like, things like, you know, trips to Australia or Canada or even, like, going to work in London? Because,
yeah,
I mean...
You can't. You have to sublet.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. Like, every time I kind of... Because I do, like, in my head a lot, I'm like, but what if? And my dad's always like, sublet. You can sublet. You can always sublet.
Yeah.
You know? So, because people are always looking to rent, you know, and you only need to cover your mortgage, which is less than most rent, I found.
That's the mad thing. I couldn't believe that.
It's crazy.
Like, it's actually significantly less than...
I know.
Because rent has just gone so crazy. And it's so frustrating because you just are aware. Like, I've never missed a month's rent, like, off acting work ever. Like, and I don't have a day job and I've never missed a month's rent. And then when you realise that I'm actually paying, like, hundreds of euro more than what, like, my parents would have for a mortgage. For a nice house, like a perfectly nice house in a perfectly nice estate, like in the suburbs. Do you know what I mean?
Down the drain when you think about it. Just don't even add it up, because I did recently and I was so upset. When I went in for the meeting in the bank as well, they were like, so how many, like, coffees would you get a day? And then when they're multiplying all that up, you're like, oh my God, I'm literally, like, blowing my nose with money.
Do they ask you that?
Yeah, well, they can, because I wanted someone to help me kind of know where to put everything in place for the future, like. But they can be like, so that many cups of coffee, I can multiply past 12, so I'm not going to try, but
48 cups a day.
I do. It's close to that.
Oh God, oh, the stress of it.
It's so stressful.
Right, let's do another spin before having an anxiety attack.
Thank you.
All right, I just ruined your day's yoga. You know what I mean? You came in all zen and I fucked it up with talk of how many coffees you have. Oh, okay, here, number 14. Do you have it?
I do! No, I have it! I have it!
The excitement is tangible. Okay, you're going to make a push now. Try to get those other five going. All right, number 14. Do you consider yourself, we kind of touched on, a creature of habit?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so even, are you ritualistic in terms of your prep for, say, going on for the snapper?
Yeah. I 100% am. I like to have my hair and stuff done even before I go into the theatre.
Right.
And if I don't, I'm just, like, panicking. Like, even, like, at the half hour call, if my hair isn't done, I'm, like, literally panicking.
Yeah.
I always have my Berocca, although I switched because I was drinking a Monster every day. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's awful. It's a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. I literally was like, why am I so panicky? Like, why am I so hot? Like, why do I feel so nervous? Why am I trembling? Because you're drinking a Monster a day. You know, like, if I needed to get through, grand. But, like,
I did that a few times during our run as well.
It's hard, like, because you're just, but then you get used to that kind of, like, lovely energy, but the fake energy. Mm-hmm. So now I've one Berocca a day. But even little things, like, I went into Boots last week and I spent, obviously, like, I haven't been drinking, so I'm saving loads of money.
Yeah, you went off drink totally.
Yeah. So I went in, like, I'm not a teetotaler, mm-hmm, but I'm just not really drinking.
Yeah, no, sure.
You know, I'm not saying never, but I'm just saying not right now.
I did that for 6 months.
Yeah,
and
it's
I
really good.
It.
Yeah. I went into Boots and I spent £100 on, like, vitamins and skincare and stuff. And I was like, this is what it feels like to be a grown up, and I like it. But even that now, every morning, I'm just like, okay, those two tablets now, and, like, those after my breakfast, and I'll always have, like, my cup of coffee. And, like, even down to shopping, if I don't do my shopping on the day, I won't eat for the week and I'll just get Deliveroo for a week. Like, I know that's extreme and I'm trying to work on it, but it is, it's really, like, all or nothing with me. Like,
Yeah. It's funny how our brains do that, you know?
Yeah, like, it's when you're hard on yourself as well.
Yeah, because, you know, logically, like, if we've been logical about it, you're like, I didn't do it on Monday, but that's okay because Tuesday's here.
Yeah.
And I can do it.
But I'm just like, no, I have to wait till next week now. Sure, I might as well, like, just get loads of takeaways, you know?
I feel you. And so, and then in terms of, like, other little, like, Like, and what do you think it is? Do you think it's a control thing? Like, do you?
Yeah, I'm a control freak. And I absolutely admit that.
No, totally. And I think as well, like, just going back to what you were saying, with all the uncertainty with, like, work and stuff, that when you can control something, you want to fucking control it.
Yeah.
You know? Because I wonder if you were, right? Because sometimes I feel like that with some of my friends who do have those jobs that are a little bit more stable and they do know where they're going to be in 6 months and they know at 9 they'll be there and at 5 they'll leave.
Yeah.
Like, that, then they're kind of looking for spontaneity and they're looking to break habits. And they're looking for, like, the randomness.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we don't know what we're doing, so we're always looking, like...
Just living this, uncertainty. Then,
you know? So it's funny, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Right, let's give another spin. Speaking of,
even if I get one more, I'd be happy.
Number 43.
No.
Okay, no worries. Number 43. The question is, have you ever or would you ever consider seeing a fortune teller?
I have, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
How was it?
Good. I think, I'm kind of pessimistic. I'm growing more pessimistic as I get older. Mm. I'm becoming my dad. Yeah, my mom's really into them. And a couple of people in my family actually kind of practice that themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's something that I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a black sheep. Maybe it's because, I'm just my father's daughter. But I think, obviously, my family can never do anything on me because they know me too well. But anyone I've gone to see outside, I'm just like, but you could say that to anybody, you know?
Like, so what sort of stuff were they...
You know, oh, like, you're going to travel. Yeah, well, you're looking at me and saying, like, I'm, like, in my 20s, you probably am going to travel, you know? Yeah. Oh, like, a well-deserved holiday is, like, coming up. Yeah, because it's, like, March and it's summer is coming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you'll find something that you really like or, you know, like, a really funny guy is going to come into your life. Well, yeah, because, like, I love funny guys. I'm not sure whether it's going to be a partner or a friend. Well, yeah. You know, like, I just, anything, you're kind of just like, oh, stop.
Yeah.
I think that I could, I actually thought about it before. I had this idea floating around in my mind of doing an interactive show like that, like having the questions and like doing a fake kind of medium show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've thought about that. It's just such a theatrical idea.
Yeah, I think it'd be a very good way. Like, Darren Brown's doing it, but a more kind of staged version of it, like as in a theatre version of it. I think he kind of shows as well. I'm not a huge fan like of Darren Brown anyway, but I think the stuff that he does show is like, you're saying really random things, like, and then especially the ones that like talk to ghosts and stuff like that, like the clairvoyance. Like, does anyone here know a John? Yeah, probably. You know, it's always kind of like, if you say fucking Vladimir, who's going to know him? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just think that it's just all very circumstantial.
And was there anything that was said in one of them that, you know, with hindsight, you were like, oh fuck, that actually, there was something to that. That was specific enough. That was accurate enough.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about it?
I remember going to a medium and her telling me there was like three guys in my life, and the way she described them, those three guys were in my life at different stages,
right?
But like down to like physicality and everything,
really,
and their personalities. But then I'm just like, is that just three different guys? And am I looking for that? Was I looking for that?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, was she describing like three archetypes that kind of just fit?
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Three completely different guys.
Yeah.
You know, when it was like first boyfriend, second boyfriend, third boyfriend, and that has kind of happened.
Right.
But I think I'm just looking for that.
And when you like, had you like pre-booked, like how did it work? Did you like just rock into this random fortune teller somewhere, or did you like call in, book an appointment?
No, it was actually someone that my aunt is a medium, and it was someone that she knew that just kind of done like tea leaves and stuff like that. But some people came out, like I went to it, like some family, and some of them were like, oh my God, she's brilliant. And I was just like, maybe I'm just like a shit person to read.
I'm sure there are people that are way easier to read than others.
Yeah, I think so. I think as well, because I was very like, what? Go on, tell me.
Where are you?
Yeah, whereas my mom would be like, oh my, really? Yeah, that's so true. I'm like, how did you know that? Whereas I was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. So she's probably like, just get out, you.
Yeah.
You're wasting me time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I remember I went to one medium before and I was only like 19 or something like that. And it's like terrified the life out of me. She was telling me that like this like little boy ghost had attached himself onto me, like in a hospital, like, and he was like always with me. And like that made me start hearing things and all in the night. And I remember then like another one of my aunt's friends done like this weird kind of like cross the spirit over, kind of like not like an exorcism, but kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
Before, like, and it's just something in my head. I'm just like, Jesus, did that actually happen?
And so, did like, sorry.
I know. She said there was She said there was a little boy, a ghost that like attached himself onto me in a hospital. And then I was like, oh well, I was in the hospital like when my granddad died. That was the last time. So I was like, oh my God. And I really started to believe. And I used to like be like, should I talk to him or what? She was like, yeah, you know, I don't know why, but he's attached himself onto you and this is his name and, you know, he's harmless and stuff like that. But I told my mom and dad and then they started to be like, God, I feel like I'm hearing things upstairs, like, because I was in the attic.
Mm.
My mom's really into all that.
Mm.
So, I gotta feel like a psychopath saying all this. And then, like, my mom started to get really concerned and I started getting really kind of, I think I did start to believe it a lot.
Right.
And then my mom, like my aunt was like, well, we can like do this, like get the spirit to kind of cross over. And they came into my room and like lit loads of candles and done this kind of like trying to talk to him to cross him over. And I definitely felt scared. But it just feels now like, how did that happen? It's just one of those memories because I was really young. Like, I'm just like, God, that was a bit mad.
Have you ever seen something?
I think we all think we see things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I've never actually seen, like, a fully thing in front of me. I think that you see things, but I think that it's just, like, energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe in ghosts, like, shaking chains and stuff like that. I do believe that, like, energy goes somewhere. But I don't think it's, like, ghosts see-through people.
Do you ever think about, like, where your granny might be now that she's passed away? Or, like, where we go when
you die? Yeah, I do think, though, sometimes, and it's probably just because I want to think it, like, because, like, I live in that house again. So, like, do you know when you get those weird, goosebumps after you've been outside in the cold and come into the heat? And it's like warm goosebumps. It's not like the ones where your leg or something is dead. It's that really warm feeling.
Mm.
Like every now and again I get that. And I like to tell myself that it's not my body probably having some sort of like breakdown,
mm-hmm,
or spasm. I like to tell myself that that's her, you
sure
know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. And what about then? Because I was thinking about that. One of my favourite things about working in theatre is that there's like every theatre has a ghost story.
We have the Grey Lady, and like everyone is like banging on about her.
In theatre upstairs?
In the gate.
Oh, in the gate?
Yeah, in the gate, there's the Grey Lady.
Oh, well, just tell me about her. I don't know.
I don't know much about her. I know no one seems to. I think it used to be an old hospital. I think I asked Carmel, that plays Mrs. Burgess. So I think this used to be an old like nurse's quarters for a hospital. So she was like an older nurse and obviously died in the building. But like there's been times that like people have been upstairs and I heard footsteps or like doors are like slamming and things are going missing,
mm,
or moved. And everyone's just like, that's the Grey Lady. That's the Grey Lady. And especially because we're working with the kids that play like the rabbit kids. And it's really fun when they're like, I'm not going up there because it's the Grey Lady. Yeah. Or we'd be like, be careful up there now. Like, the Grey Lady might be up there. If anything goes wrong, the telly or the monitors or anything, if anything happens or anything electrical happens involved in the show, where I was like, it's the Grey Lady.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, yeah, like the stage manager and the, I don't know what exactly she is, but like the resident stage manager,
yeah,
or whoever it is, like she was telling us stories in the Olympia, and Ferga is her name, and
that looks really like there's a lot of stories in there, that building, for some reason.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
I'd say like it's just like they're just old and they're beautiful, yeah, and like
it reminds me of like a haunted jewelry box, a big giant haunted jewelry box.
Totally, that's
you know what I mean?
That's a perfect description,
yeah,
for it. But she was saying that like when she took over from some brogan she took over from,
yeah,
and but apparently like loads of stuff was happening, like, and like kind of dangerous stuff was happening that wasn't,
oh, really?
Like that wasn't like any stage crew, like there'd be no one, yeah, there. And then she was constantly hearing someone say her name, like Ferga, and it was coming from the stalls, it was coming from backstage, and she,
I know,
like,
that's really creepy.
To the point where she would go and she would look and she couldn't see anyone and all this sort of stuff, like it was really like specifically targeted at her. And then one day she went onto the stage and just like talked to the theater and said, look, let's just say his name was Jimmy, who was there before. I think she's like, Jimmy's not coming back. I'm sorry. If this is to do with me, we're going to have to find some way of working this out because I'm not leaving.
It's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
She was very good about it, yeah. And and according to her, the everything stopped from then on and nothing's
crazy.
Happened since then. This is recently, like this is only going back a months or a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely some sort of energy. Actually, like when I was saying I'm pessimistic in that sense, as in like the fortune kind of stuff and like the reading people's like palms and stuff like that. I'm kind of like, okay. But when it comes to like, there is definitely something after this, I think.
Yeah. So you're pessimistic of when like, when humans try and be the bridge.
Yeah.
And you're just like, we'd have to be different things.
Maybe. I do. I think that there definitely is something there. I think some people are more susceptible to it. I just don't think a lot of people making a living off it are the ones that are more sensitive to that kind of energy.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Right. Let's give it a spin. All right. Here we go, number 44. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 44. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
My dad is great for this.
Yeah. Anything you come back to again and again, like?
Actually, I recently I was told did you hear the rat race one? I actually only put it up on Instagram there. It's like, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's great.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what are you actually trying to achieve? Like, you know, it's still, you're still a rat.
Yeah.
I really like that. And my dad has great ones, but they're kind of more mushy. But that's my favourite. I kind of have a new, like, mantra kind of like every couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny, like, as in, do you like advice? Do you ask for advice?
I don't ask for it, but I'm willing to accept it when it's handed to me.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. How are you? How do you feel? Like, are you comfortable giving advice?
Only if it's something that I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel, for example, more qualified? Like, would you feel more qualified to give acting advice or like love advice?
Oh, acting advice, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Well, maybe like not like acting as a whole. Maybe it's like, oh, you want to start your own company. I've done that. I can give you advice on that.
Totally.
You know, or if it's someone being like, oh, I'm finding it really hard. I'm like, well, I can give you advice on that.
Yeah.
But if someone was like, oh, can you give me advice on like, you know, like how you got this? I'd be like, no, because I'm just chancing my arm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny when like, when those kind of conversations, like, you know, might happen. I mean, I suppose they're rare in ways, but it's like, once I feel like you find your path in like the industry, and I mean, as you said, it's like week to week, to month,
absolutely,
year to year. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, it's like you can be working, because that's kind of, I suppose, how like working actors judge it, is how much you're working, you know. And it's like, you can work on 1 minute, but like, it's like, once you find that path to that job, like, that is taken now and no one else can really follow that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've done things your way, and however that's going, good or bad, like, that's your way.
Yeah, because every character is completely different.
Totally.
You know? Like, it's day to day. Like, one day you could be just like, oh my God, I want to quit. And the next day you're like, I'm about to get cast in 3 gigs. And then you might get cast in that. And then you might not get cast again for another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I just think it's so specific to certain, like, characters and projects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so difficult. Like, no one fits into everything. No matter how talented you are, I just don't think anyone, like, fits into every single box, you know?
And then in terms of, like, you know, in terms of then, you know, we were talking about earlier with if you're looking to buy a mortgage or whatever, and you are, you know, like, let's say a professionally creative person with a lack of stability, with like and not like a person who does have that bit more stability, who might do something different. What about the other side of that, like the actual, like, just being in a relationship with people who are in the same industry as you, like, do you find a comfort in that, or do you find it difficult? Can it get competitive, or is it always just supportive?
I think you can either do or you can't. Like, can you really be jealous of someone? I could never be jealous of some of a being in a relationship with an actor, because you're never going to go for the same parts. You know, you understand the game. Like, you know, like, the most that's going to happen is like, what, a stage or a screen kiss. What does that mean? Like, kids kiss.
Yeah.
Kisses are nothing. Do you know what I mean? That's as far as it kind of goes. And you have to have, like, a lot of trust and stuff, I suppose. But I think the hardest part of, like, being with someone that's in this industry as well is the ups and downs, because you would feel a little bit of guilt being like, oh, well, I'm sorted for work now for the next year. And, you know, they haven't landed a gig. You do feel like some things are kind of like, I can imagine, are out of bounds, you know?
Mm-hmm. In the sense of what?
Like, I don't want to go home and talk about how brilliant my day was. I also don't want to go home and moan about how shit my day was because they'd probably like to be working right now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I think, you need to have, you need to be very, sensitive to the situation
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be in a relationship with an actor. I know, a lot of my friends are doing a great job at it. And they make it work, and there's just 100% support there and understanding, and that's how it works, you know. But I think you have to be cut from a certain cloth,
sure,
to be able to do that.
Do you come from a place of do you think it's more so, in your experience, has it been the opposites attract, or that
opposites?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I couldn't be with someone like me.
Have you ever been with someone like you?
No.
Right.
I couldn't. I just, yeah. I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
It'd just be very, very clean, very structured, very uptight relationship, I think.
So you need someone to balance, a little bit more chilled.
I like someone that's chilled and has can really calm me, I suppose, because I am 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, and do you find then that oftentimes you're the person then who has to kind of be giddy up to the other person early,
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All of the time in any relationship.
Gosh, that is so funny. But it is amazing how people do need counterbalances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I see that with my mum and dad. Do you know what I mean?
Same with my parents. Yeah. My parents are completely the opposite. And that's maybe why I've gone for the really funny, really kind of chilled, spontaneous person, because I'm very by the book.
It's really weird. You know, it's something that we don't really talk about. Maybe it's because it sounds embarrassing or it sounds a bit odd, but how you learn about love from your parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure to whether you like it or not, how you learn how to be a parent from your parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's really odd. Cause
it is, yeah.
To bring it real base, but you know the way, something happened to me relatively recently where I had started seeing a girl and I introduced her to one of my friends and he was yeah, she's lovely, but are you aware she looks really like your mam?
Stop it. You can't.
I was like,
that,
I kind of was a little yeah. bit like, I kind of was. And I was like, that is like, but like that, that is so, it's just such a fucking weird thing. Cause he was completely right. It's just a weird thing. I don't know why I'm telling you this. It was just
looks wise. I actually go for people that are the absolute opposite of my dad.
Yeah.
I go for, this sounds embarrassing. I go for people with my mom's colouring.
Right.
She'd be quite fair.
Yeah.
Blue eyes and stuff like that. And then my dad is really, really sallow. I look like my dad.
Mm.
And, but I any guy I've gone out with has certain traits, whether they be more or less like my dad, as in the sense of humor and people pleasers, you know, that kind of really, really kind, but maybe to their detriment.
Sure.
That's the kind of I like guys with a big heart.
And do you think you do have a type?
I do have a type, personality wise.
Right.
And sometimes looks wise.
And have you ever not conform to that type? And
yeah, I did.
And what was that like?
It didn't last.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been my shorter relationship.
Yeah.
Because I like doing long stints. I do have a type, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Right, let's give another spin. All right, here we go. Number 18, do you have it?
No.
No one. Ooh, that's useless.
He was so blamed.
Number 18, the question is, what's the greatest lesson you've learned about acting?
The greatest lesson I've learned about acting, there's always another job, there's always another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that we do always think, this is the one, but it's never going to be the one, it's never going to be enough. Regardless if, you're working on stage in the Abbey and then you're oh, I've made it now, you're gonna be hungry to get somewhere else.
Mm.
You know, whether it be like a film, what comes out, like you might do one big film and never work again.
Sure.
You know, you might do loads of little things and keep working, but you never get that big film. I think you just have to like understand that it's never going to be the one. Like, we have a career that we can do until like past the age of like, we don't get a pension, but past retirement, like mm-hmm. we can keep going as long as we want. So when are you going to be happy? You're always going to want something more. I think that's why we do what we do. We are hungry for something more. And I don't think as actors we're ever going to be fulfilled, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things, yeah, you're right, because the ceiling always moves.
Yeah, there is no ceiling. It's, well, like, that's, it's just infinity. You're always like, I want more, I want more. And the more success you get, the more success you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to be realistic. As well, my dad, I will give one of my dad's quotes. Mm. He's a brilliant man. One of his quotes when I started off was, never hurt anybody to get where you want. And I think in acting, that is like so important, you know?
Yeah. There was some, a woman, I'm pretty sure she won Best Supporting Actor, or no, Best Actress, and I can't remember what it, I can't remember who it was, but I think that was her speech was, I'm so glad, actually maybe it wasn't a woman, someone who won an Oscar, right? Some brilliant person, and they said, but I'm so glad I didn't have to fuck anyone over to get this.
Who was that? Was that this year?
I don't know. Was it? I don't know. It was in the last like 3 years, definitely.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar.
Yeah, but I just remember being like, Jesus, that is a fucking wonderful thing to be able to say. You know, I think I could say that now, and I'm like, I never want that to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because yeah, like, and there's something lovely as well. Like, I don't know. I'm sure you've had the experience where, like, you know, you might have been able to tip someone off about an audition or a thing, and you know they go and get that, and like,
but that just wasn't for you either.
But exactly, but yeah, I mean, and it's a lovely like feeling that. To see someone else go and do a thing because there was exactly like that. There was something that wasn't like, and it literally physically wasn't for me, but I was like, Jesus Christ, and I thought of my friend, this would be perfect for them, and they're a little bit, you know, disconnected from the initiative, and I gave them a shout about it and ended up getting it, and it like, you know, catapulted them into doing loads of stuff, and it was a lovely feeling.
It
you
is
know
a
what
nice
I mean?
Feeling,
and you kind of just.
The best person always gets the part, you know. Like, I honestly, I've never like heard someone got something and been like, oh, I'm so jealous, that should have been me, ever.
Yeah.
Just like, fair play to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Like, I mean, anything else just becomes, like, it's just a waste of energy, isn't it?
If it's anything else, you're in the wrong game, you know? Yeah. Like, all that, like, if everyone was, because I think everyone is really supportive in this industry. Like, you'd find it hard to come by a lot of people that are out to hurt people.
Totally.
You know, because everyone understands we're all in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah.
So what better way to like all survive than to raise each other up?
Yeah, big time.
You know?
Right, let's do one more.
Right, one of my numbers is going to come out.
All right, here we go. Fingers crossed. It's number 49. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Pitiful.
I'm so sorry. Number 49. This is kind of a nice way to finish, actually. If you could choose one person to interview, who would it be?
Judi Dench. I love her. I just love her.
Amazing.
I love her.
Yeah. Any idea what the first question might be?
Can we work together? Straight out. I have this much money aside. I had saved for a mortgage. I'll give it to you. What can we do together?
Do you know what's such a gorgeous film? Philomena.
Oh my God. She's brilliant. She's brilliant. She's just so... There's something... She reminds me of my grandmother. I know like she didn't when I was younger, but she has a similar look. My grandmother, like, my grandmother's such a lady. I don't know whether that's something to do with it.
Mm.
But she's just, God, she can just really just flip from, like, stage to screen, and everything is just so different, and she's so comfortable in herself as a woman and her body and her ability. And she just exudes, like, warmth and confidence, and she's who I would like to be,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you also exude warmth and confidence. Thank you so much for doing personality videos. Lovely. Will you do me a favour? Will you tell people if you have any social media, any Instagrams, Twitters, and also maybe a little bit about The Snapper and where they can find it and how long you're running to all that
Yeah,
stuff.
So The Snapper is running until the 15th of September in the Gay Theatre. And all the tickets and all can be booked through their website. I'm just about to direct a show called Hero, starting in Smock Alley the last week in August. And then we're going on a national tour around Ireland and... really excited about that.
Brilliant.
And then that's the only thing you can talk about now.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Amelia Stewart, thanks for being personal.
Thank you
bingo.
So much.
Sweet. So, guys, that was the lovely Amelia Stewart playing Personality Bingo with Tom Warren. Amelia, if you are listening, thank you so much for taking the time to do it. I really, really, really appreciate it. As I said, go and check Amelia out in the Snapper. It's been such a success. Tickets are flying out the door. I've been lucky enough to get in to see it, and it's just brilliant. I mean, the cast is incredible. Simon Delaney, Hilda Fey, former guest of the show, Kate Gilmore. I mean, it's just littered with talent. And get in and see it. They're a lovely gang of people as well. And we should be supporting Irish theatre like the Snapper by our very own Roddy Doyle. As I said, just finished up the run of Copperface Jackson musical. It was deadly. Thanks to everyone who came and seen that. I'm going off on the holidays now, doing some interrailing. So fingers crossed, I don't know, I don't die or something while I'm away, you know, because that's always the fear, isn't it? So fingers crossed, you come back in a couple of weeks. But we'll have Personality Bingo coming to you right the way through. So do not worry about that. As always, a massive thank you to the incredible Erin Lindsay for mixing, editing and producing this podcast. She's an absolute gem, and it wouldn't be possible without her. A huge thank you to Leah Moore and Anthony Manley for the deadly theme music, to Connor Nolan for the beautiful artwork, and as always, to Alan Bennett and Paddy O'Leary for having us as part of the Head Stuff podcast family. It's such a joy to be here and to be amongst such lovely company. As I said, we'll be back next week when the excellent Anya Ní Laoire plays Personality Bingo with Tom Warren.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.